ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. My name is Jim Case. I'm the host and excited that you are here. And if you are just joining us for the first time, thank you for being here. We're excited that you're here, and I hope you find the show informative and helpful. If you've been here before and you like the show, gosh, I appreciate you guys so much for being here and for listening and for being a part of the show, whether it's as the podcast or the live show. I would appreciate greatly if you would take the moment to like or subscribe wherever you're listening, whether you're on YouTube Live or Facebook Live, whether you're at E360 TV, which is where we're running live from. You can watch us on adventuresintruth.com website, and you can also listen to us on all the major podcast platforms. So appreciate all that support, appreciate all that love. Today, we got a great show for you today. Our amazing astrologer, Shelley Intine, is with us, and we're going to be talking about the current influences, the Aquarian influence, and the concept of you will evolve. Very interesting topic, I think, because we were talking before the show about the influences of these energies that we're experiencing lately. And I was kind of like, you know, I get it. Even trying to do the work and trying to stay in alignment with all the shifts, it still feels bizarre. It still feels, my word was, it feels like shit. But to be honest, it comes and goes. There is this constant pull. It feels like this energy is kind of, come on along. And I feel like I'm being as non-resistant as possible. And yet I feel like I'm in resistance. It's just a strange place. So I'm excited that Shelley's here to help us with understanding the influences, because if you remember from the last show that Shelley was here, we talked a lot about the retrogrades and the things that were going on. And so now those planets, the Jupiters and the Saturns and the Uranus and where they are and the Aquarian influence on those planets and what that means for us. We're going to dive into that in detail here in just a sec. So we'll do that on the other side of the break. But again, thank you for being here. It's going to be a great show. And we'll see you right after this. I dig that commercial. It really speaks to the book and fiercerchoicebook.com, my website, where you can check out all the information about the book. You can read testimonials. You can order from Amazon and Barnes & Noble and IndieBound and Kindle. And this book is a powerful book, a book that can change your life because it changes your relationship with fear. So much of what we're experiencing now seems to be this drum beat of fear. And I think that's part of what feels so powerfully resistant right now is the fear energy is so huge that it is being so constantly stimulated and constantly forced into our spaces that it's hard not to feel some form of resistance, because that consciousness is not what I want, nor is it where I live. So as these clouds sort of roll over the countryside, as it were, there is a sense and a feeling of a need to kind of keep it at bay. And how I do that, how we do that, is understanding our relationship with fear and changing that relationship, so that we're using the tools that we have and the tools that you learn from this show or from wherever you get them that help you to spin that energy up, to bring your vibration to a higher place so that it doesn't feel quite as impactful, and you can still maintain some clarity. You can still maintain the ability to see through the haze and the fog. Because as you spin that energy up, as you change your relationship with fear, and as you are not reactive to that, you can see it for what it is, but it doesn't make it less energetically draining and challenging at times. So Fear's Choice book is really about being able to see the evolution of fear in the human experience, and then seeing how we have, each individually, have taken the mantle and carried it forward in our lives because we believed it was necessary. And what I'm telling you is that it's a choice. It's not necessary. It is a choice that we make, and it's a choice because we have the ability to create our world. So just because someone wants to hurl fear bubbles at you doesn't mean you have to live there. So Fear is a Choice book, check it out. fearsofchoicebook.com. You can learn all about it. I appreciate it. You can see, wrong side. I'm excited. I was awarded an award for the book. And I'm stumbling over myself in the International Book Awards Award in the spirituality category. So check it out if you would. I appreciate that very much. And we will be right back right after this. All right. My world is good. How's your world, guys? My world is good, to the point that we're talking about with Fear is a Choice. We are 7.5 billion unique worlds inhabiting this planet. And in that, the reason that I say that, the reason that I express it that way, is because no one can live your life for you. No one can create your life for you. No one can change your life for you without your consent, without your engagement in some form or fashion. So this is about creating change in that mass consciousness, in those fear clouds that are kind of rolling across the world and the country. This is a way that you can begin to pierce through that. One of the ways that you can spin your energy up is focusing into my world is good. And in focusing into that, it's a feeling, it's an intensity. It's finding the things that are happening in your world that you can focus into, that you can stimulate appreciation for, and then direct that energy. My world is good. My world is good. When I go on the walk in the morning with my dog, everywhere I go, I take snapshots in my mind. I see a beautiful tableau in the trees and I think, my world is good. I look down and I see my happy dog bouncing down the road with his tail wagging, and I think, my world is good, and how much I appreciate his joy and appreciate the time that we have together. Just that moment stimulates powerful energy and really spins your energy up just by focusing on those little details in your world. And the more you focus there, the greater the energy grows, the more you see them, and the more consistently you see them. Because remember, perception is simply the reflection of our beliefs and ideas and concepts brought out into the world, put into the space and in the place where we can experience it in our five senses here on the planet. And it's reflecting it back so that we can see, how are we creating? What are we creating? How are we engaged in our life? How are we in alignment with the things we're creating? So my world is good. In the morning, 10 times if you can, throughout the day, whenever you do, 10 times again at night. Just, it doesn't cost anything. It doesn't require anything than your energy, your focus, and attention. My world is good. Just feel into it. Let yourself feel into it. And as you see posts about it all over social media and every place and everywhere you go, don't hesitate to reach out and share with us what your experience of My World is Good is. How are you doing with the process? Do you have questions? Is there something we can help you fine-tune so that you can even get more out of the process? So check it out. My World is Good. Thank you for being a part of it. If you are, if you're not, join us. It's a powerful, powerful thing, and it can change your life dramatically. And it can also help you begin to deal with that relationship with fear that you may be struggling with. So we'll be right back. We're going to have Shelly on the show with us here in just a second, and we'll see you on the other side of this short break. We'll be right back. All right, today's show, I'm going to give her a quick introduction here. If I find my buttons, here we go. All right, quick introduction for Miss Shelly. Shelly Antine is an ordained minister, an ordained interfaith reverend, and has been offering counseling with astrology and tarot for over 40 years. She combines evolutionary with traditional Western astrology to give you the clarity and validation you seek. Shelly has also been a holistic health practitioner for over 30 years and may include suggestions for Bach flower remedies and essential oils in her talks, online articles, podcasts, and readings. Shelly has been a popular speaker for the South Florida Astrological Association and Asheville Friends of Astrology, and presented numerous talks and workshops on esoteric topics for Unity Church and spiritual centers in the Carolinas and Northern Georgia. She has published in The Mountain Astrologer, and articles on aromatherapy have appeared in Massage Today magazine, the Aromatherapy Journal, and online blogs. Daily astrology forecasts and live videos can be found on her Astral Essence Facebook page, which we'll talk about with her in a little while. And her weekly astrology forecast podcast and other articles are found at her blog on shellyantine.com. So check out her website. And I'm super happy to have Shelly back with us again. Hello, hello, hello.
Hi there. I've been hearing thunder outside. So
me too.
Cross your fingers. Really? And you're in a completely different state.
Yep. Coming over the mountains. We were getting a little rain and it was starting to just do that thing it does when it gets to be 90 degrees and generating lots of heat and moisture. So.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, lovely to see you. Good to be here again. So we're biting off a big one today, aren't we?
Yes, I think so. And it just has something to do with Jupiter, the biggest of them all.
Yes, I had to make some notes, so I kept it all in track. But then I remembered that we created a segment that was specifically about you getting to talk about all these different details. So
yeah, I think people will be able to, I'll be able to also understand more about what you were saying as the show opened. I mean, I think there's little doubt in my mind that anyone listening to this could relate to what you said.
Yeah.
It would be a little strange to not relate to it.
truly, because even if you're not necessarily on this path, the feeling of it, I can't imagine that. It would almost seem to me that if you're not dialed in too much, that it's going to feel worse than it does if you're dialed in, because you can't find it. It's not, you can't walk over and go, oh, this is bothering me, that's why I feel this way.
Right.
It isn't that kind of energy, and it isn't kind of that kind of influence. And so, that's why I think these topics are so important, because we wander around in our world. I do it, you know, where I'm feeling out of sorts, and I'm sifting and sorting through my little warehouse here, trying to figure out what's wrong, and nothing's wrong in my world. I mean, everything is good. I'm not having problems. I'm not in a conflict. And then I stop and go, oh, okay, this is other influence. So how do I do this? And then I say, so now I have to go sit and get quiet. I have to go do some meditation. I have to calm my energy and get into a space of aligning with what's happening as best as I can, even though I really have no clue. But it's what I can do from where I am with what I have.
That's the crux of the matter. And that's the Aquarius part that we're going to be talking about.
Yes. So give us a little tidbit before we go into the moment of focus. Let's talk a little. I know there's you and I in our original communication. As I referenced in the last show, we talked about the retrogrades, and so now that's all in full force. That's all happening, and except Mercury came back out.
Right, and Uranus didn't go yet.
Yeah, but that they're now back. They've swung back from Pisces into Aquarius, and now they're kind of running this track.
So the thing that's swinging back into Aquarius is Jupiter. Saturn's retrograde in Aquarius. And the ruler of Aquarius is Uranus, and that's not quite retrograde yet, but it's on the way. In August, it'll retrograde. And so, yes, so we're reviewing. And this is a good thing, as we talked about last time. And Jupiter has a lot more to help us expand. That's what Jupiter is all about, expanding consciousness. And the consciousness of Aquarius is an kind of an uncharted map. You know, this has always been the case, but we're in it more than ever, the uncharted realm. And so I think this is the source of the issue. And I think we can learn a little more tonight about how we can possibly hold that and what we might have ahead.
Right on. I had a thought as I was making, you had referenced in, as we were talking, that at least Mercury went retrograde, but people are still having issues with their stuff, with their technology.
Right.
And that's the Saturn in Aquarius that's happening. And yes. I giggled to myself because I said, if I remember correctly, isn't Saturn in Aquarius sort of like the parent of Mercury in retrograde? It's sort of like Mercury retrograde is like the little brat that runs around and annoys everybody. But Saturn in Aquarius is the mom standing there going, guess what?
Make it. Sit down. Be quiet.
Is that a little too much of a stretch, or do you think that's pretty accurate?
I think that the Saturn energy is letting us know where our limitations have been. It's so difficult for humans to understand that we don't have it all. We want to have it all because we feel secure.
Yeah.
And what we're finding out, and the reason I referenced that idea about the computer still being a problem, is that we think, okay, we've got it. We've got computers now. And I'm sure that, you know, those extraterrestrial visitors are laughing their heads off. You know, we're still sending little, you know, tin planes into the space. And they're like traveling timelines.
Yeah.
So this is our issue right now. I think this is the real, real issue of the moment.
I wrote down here something that we talked about in the last show, but not your show, not with you, but my last show, was this idea that there was a book written, Florence Scovel Shinn, The Watchman's Rattle. I believe it's called. She talks about how we have reached the point that our minds, we have created beyond our mind's ability to comprehend. And she spends a lot of time talking about that, because we're not going to be able to solve our problems by mind, through the mind. The mind created the problem. It is not the solution to the problem.
And you have it.
And so that seems to fall right into that whole idea of what Saturn and Aquarius and
right in. Right
on. Cool. All right, my dear, we're going to take a quick break while we go into a little moment of focus. I want to bring all of our energies together because this is a big topic. And
yes,
as we do, so we'll be back. I'll have you back in just a few minutes. All right, guys, let's take that moment to focus, taking a deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth as we do. This is important to me. And I hopefully is important to you, that as we talk about these topics, as we get in, whatever we get into, and this is true in your own life as much as it is in this format, where two or more are gathered, I believe so powerfully in that concept, because the more energy that we come together with, the stronger we are in collective. And so this process for me is about helping to harness that. We're talking about influences and energies that are affecting all of us. And the more energy we have together to come to understanding and clarity and to spin that energy up, the more clarity we can create, because we're bringing all of us to bear in this process. So as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, I want you to relax into the space that you're in right now. Whether you're sitting or standing or laying down, obviously if you're in a car, please be mindful. But as you take those breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth, begin to dial into your own breath process. Begin to experience and feel your own breath process, as opposed to it being sort of a semi-conscious, unconscious process. As you breathe in through the nose, I want you to feel the air moving through your body. I want you to experience how you breathe. How does the breath move through you? As you pull that air through the nose and it moves up through the head and then down into the lungs, how does that feel? Is it high up here? Does it create any constriction in your throat? Do you find your chest open or do you find your shoulders slouched? Do you find you breathe in the back or do you find you breathe in your belly? Do you find your breath is at the top of your lungs or do you find that your breath is at the bottom of your lungs? Just continue to breathe and observe. Just observe how you breathe. This is important because breath for me, breath in my understanding, is about life force. It's about chi. It's about prana. It's about the thing that animates this whole physical experience. Without breath, we die. So in my world, managing breath is synonymous with understanding and managing your energy at the basic level, at the foundational level. So that as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, you're feeling that breath and vital revitalization with every breath because it is a new moment of creation. Every breath is a new moment of creation because you are taking in new energy and you are releasing old energy. And so as you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth, I want you to lay into that rhythm, in through the nose and out through the mouth. And we're going to focus that breath and we're going to breathe into a count of four. And then we're going to hold in the fullness for a moment. And then we're going to surrender it all out of the mouth to a count of six so that we purge the deepest parts of the lungs, but that we also just release that energy, release any old energy and breath and just get prepared for the new. And as you release that at the bottom of six, you're going to rest in the emptiness, in a space of anticipation, in a space of allowing that gets you ready to engage that next breath, to take that new energy in consciousness, to take it in, to experience it, and then to choose to release it again. So as we go through, again, inhaling through the nose and exhaling from the mouth, bring your rhythm to this rhythm as we begin with an inhale, and we'll begin with an inhale, two, three, four. Feel the fullness, relax the shoulders and neck, feel the relaxation and the fullness. And then choose to release, purging it out of the mouth. Two, three, four, five, six. Beautiful. Resting in that emptiness. Just be in the void for just a moment, comfortable and relaxed. And now engage the lungs and inhale. Two, three, four. Feel that fullness. Feel that amazing feeling of being full all the way to the top and completely relaxed in that fullness. And now choosing to purge, two, three, four, five, six. Beautiful. And now rest into that space, that empty, void, anticipatory state, ready for the next breath as you engage the lungs and take in that new energy. Two, three, four. Feel the fullness. Feel the completeness of all of that energy and air. And now release it consciously. Let it go. Two, three, four, five, six. And rest in that emptiness. Relax your body around the emptiness and the nothing. Relax yourself into the space of just being present as you engage the lungs and inhale again. Two, three, four. Feel that fullness. Enjoy it. Relish it. And surrender it. Two, three, four, five, six. And as you rest in that emptiness, in that space of allowing, just be. And then continue the breath process. Continue on your own for another few cycles, feeling that expansion, being aware of that expansion, feeling it, how it moves through your body. But every time you take a breath as you reach the top, every time you take the breath, you are creating. Every time you engage the breath, you are in the process of creation. You are taking energy in and you are releasing energy. It is a new moment every single time. Tap into that powerful, powerful energy as you surrender it all willingly, completely, And this is an analogous of our lives as we move through our lives, using breath to keep us stable, using breath to connect us, using breath to understand our own energy and our own field, feeling the power of that. And as you continue to do the breath cycle, continue breathing and take in these words and just let them wash over you. Let them inform your experience, see where they land for you. I am the evolution of God realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized. And from that, I create, I expand, I engage. I am. And feel that powerful breath just take over your lungs as you say that statement, I am. Feel that incredible energy fill your body. You are creation realized. And you are creator. You are creating. So with every breath, you are creating. What are you creating? Let's make that conscious. Let's connect to that breath so that everything flows in connection, because that connection is the same connection that you experience outside of self. It's inside and it's outside. It's the never-ending flow of energy that moves in the figure eight that just continues to flow through us. So embrace that and gently bring yourself back. Finish the cycle of breath that you're in and bring yourself back into awareness as we get ready to bring Shelley back in to continue our conversation. Thank you for helping to focus the energy. It feels amazing. And I'm excited now to dive into this topic. So I'm saying to Shelley, give me all the details. What do we got going on out here?
So when I said that Saturn was showing us the limitations, how is it showing us the limitations? You know, we have computers that have been so helpful, but now are being hacked. You know, we've got the ransomware. We've got all of the vulnerability, like even greater vulnerabilities. This is because we didn't go far enough in our experience of computer, you know, in our experience of internet. Again, it's kind of the energy of Saturn is also contraction, whereas Jupiter is expansion, consciousness expansion. And you were talking about the lungs and creation, and it's true. And Mercury is the ruler of the lungs. Mm. But Mercury is also involved in the details of the mind, and Jupiter is above that, expanding beyond that. And we get very nervous about that. You know, nobody wants to lose their mind. You know, that's not something on anybody's bucket list. And, you know, but it's something that even the astrologers and all these wonderful, there are some really wonderful people speaking about consciousness now, like yourself. We don't have the destination location to tell you exactly where we're going. And I think it was Buckminster Fuller who had said, you cannot solve a problem with the mindset that created the problem.
It was either him or Einstein.
I don't think it was
not but.
It was a smart guy.
Yeah.
And he was right. And that's the thing that we've been doing. We've been, ever since the Industrial Revolution, we've been having this, you know, like expansion of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a way it was just miraculous and fabulous, but in another way, it was what's brought us to the brink. But maybe the brink is where we have to let go, literally. And what is Aquarius the sign of? It's the sign of freedom. And the eccentricity of invention. So, I mean, I honestly believe that we can create the world is good with it being the reality across the board. Mm-hmm. But I think in order to do that, it's a different mindset. We had also talked before the show about the divisions that are coming up now. More and more every day, the latest way to divide. People aligning with a certain fixed attitude, fixed perspective, and a fixed idea. There is the duality there. Mm-hmm. And we're being asked to expand into a different way that isn't either of those choices. Exactly. Different. The third way, as I told you, somebody is talking about the third way. Yeah. And I honestly feel that during the retrograde of Jupiter, as we go back and look at what we were able to expand into, and I'm sure everybody who's listening can also see where they have also expanded.
Absolutely.
Even if it was something they understood about themselves and how they're relating in the world, that they could shift. But I really think that now with the retrograde, we can also start to build the momentum of seeing a third way. Absolutely.
Yes. And there's something to that that you said that I think is really important to address here. And that is with Saturn in Aquarius, or I mean, with these planets in Aquarius, but with Jupiter particularly, there has been over the course of the length of this time that has been going through the sign, and even in my own lifetime, huge, huge jumps in consciousness, huge, huge ability to tap into things that I never even thought I would experience in my life. But the thing that's important to remember in this is that it feels like we're going backwards, but evolution cannot go backwards. It cannot go backwards. So you've got to remember, it's one of those things that it's an important piece to remember. And I've had this happen to me numerous times where I keep going, oh crap, am I losing some of what I gained? And then I dive into a show or I sit with a client. And it's not only is that not the case, I'm so present and so engaged and so right there with it that I immediately go, why would you think for a minute that this would go anywhere? Yeah, your personality is getting smacked around all over the place. Mm-hmm. You know, your ego attachments are getting smacked around all over the place. And some of my spiritual beliefs are getting smacked around all over the place. But it doesn't, it's not smacking me backwards. It's not pushing me in the opposite direction of evolution. It's moving me inexorably forward, which is really what we wanted to focus in this show.
Yes, exactly.
It's inexorably moving me forward. And so all I can do is find the light within me at some times to use as my guidepost, because I'm not devolving. I am evolving. And it doesn't necessarily feel good sometimes, but if I can find those ways to tap into that clarity, it gives me a breath. It gives me a chance to go, oh, okay, I can relax for just a second, you know, like, or I can settle into this discomfort a little more easily. That's how I kind of experience it.
I can relate to that. And we also talked about, you know, there are different things like with your body. One of the things about Aquarius is a sign that's about dryness. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a winter sign where you have static electricity in the air, and the drier it is, the more that happens. In the body, we're looking at areas that are having major drought. And that's affecting us even if we're not in the drought area.
Yep.
So, well,
the fires all over the place.
And we have the smog. Of the smoke all the way in South Carolina, we're having haze from it. So we are all connected to that. And so we take steps. We hydrate more, for one thing. Just a really literal physical thing you can do to help.
And symbolically, that is about taking in the fluid of emotion, taking in the connection to the emotional body that allows us to navigate this. Mm-hmm. In a way that the emotions help us to know where we are in relation to, right? The emotions help us to say, oh, I'm not feeling really good right now. Maybe I need to think about where I'm at. Where how am I handling myself? Am I in alignment with the changes I'm experiencing, or am I fighting the changes I'm experiencing? But water to me is always a bringing emotion to the table. So we're trying to get, you know, it's being pulled out of us. The emotion that doesn't serve us is being pulled out of us, right? It's being pulled up and demonstrated in ridiculous ways with all over the country with the divisions and the ways that people are thinking. Just remarkable.
Yeah. As you were saying that, I had a thought come up about how, you know, the Aquarian energy, again, it can be dryness. It's also a fixed energy. And it was also relating to the nervous system, the electrical impulse. You know, in our nerves, there's an electrical jump between one place and another. So that breathing technique that you were discussing and describing when we do that with you, that literally affects a vagus nerve. Mm-hmm. And that is a master nerve energy. So you can find yourself in a completely different physiological state. I've already noticed this with blood pressure, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, it can go down 15, 20, you know, numbers because you did that breathing.
Yes.
So you can actually see the effect it has on you.
Yeah.
But the thing that we have to do, which is the hard part, is that surrender into the unknown. The surrender into this unknown. Because when we're trained to fix it, and I think this is part of it. I mean, you know, we see everything that's going on in the world now. Unless we unplug from everything, we're going to find out. You know, we're going to find out what happened in Germany. We're going to find out what, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's going to affect us because we are connected on the mental is one. It's a field of energy.
Yes.
So the individual self is responsible for recalibrating. You know, you go off, you go, okay, you know, I can breathe. Mm-hmm. I can drink water. I can not have to figure this out.
Exactly.
I don't have to fix that. You know? And maybe I don't know the purpose of everything. You know, maybe there are reasons we're going through all of it, you know, how the hindsight is 2020, you know.
Yep.
Maybe that. But then also Aquarius is the sign of vision, the intuitive energy, as opposed to the psychic energy, which is a feelings energy. The intuitive is like that flash, like you get with the static electricity, like it's like boom, whoa, the aha.
Mm-hmm.
And also being able to just, instead of just picturing, you know, everybody's happy and nobody's sick, you know, picture like, what do we need to shift about what we believe about the body? And is it as vulnerable as we've been led to believe? And if it isn't, why is that? You know, start to explore more.
I love particularly, I think the key to this is the surrender piece, because it's important to remember. And as you were talking, it really stuck out to me as you were talking about a lot of the positive influences of Aquarius and the influences on the planet. It's also important to understand that if you are in resistance or if you are not surrendering to, you will have the negative effect of that energy, which is could be the opposite or something similar to. So something that instead of it coming as intuition, instead of getting that zap of intuition, you're getting a headache. Instead of things moving through your digestive process easily, you're getting constipation, because that's all the result of the resistance to and not surrendering to. It doesn't mean you're not going to have some potential physical stuff, but it shakes off. It doesn't run you that way, at least in my experience, I think. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we need to take a quick break because we have to do your segment and we're going to do a quick commercial. And then when we come back, we're going to dive into specifically, you will evolve. What does that look like? So we're going to talk about that in line with this to help kind of bring all this energy together. So we'll be right back right after this. Here we go.
The Science of Transformation Method. And I can't tell you the difference that it's made in my life.
This program is all about you coming into the greatest form of you. www.thescienceTransformation.com. My entire platform is about helping people change their relationship with fear. The Science of Transformation is that. If you're looking for a powerful coaching process and coach that can help you to navigate through this, that can help you to reframe your experience and help you to step up to that experience in a way that I have helped hundreds of people over the years in helping them to step into their potential, step into their power, but more importantly, to change their relationship with fear and then allowing that to guide the future of their lives and the tremendous change and powerful shifts that have occurred as a result of that. www.thescienceoftransformation.com. You can check out the website there. You can see some testimonials and some videos. You also can reach out if you'd like to do a free consultation. And or if you're interested in doing the introductory package, I have an introductory package that's discounted so that you can begin to experience the process yourself. So www.sciencetransformation.com. And now I'm turning the show over to Shelley because it's her turn to tell everybody about all the amazing things she's got going on.
Well,
so.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing what's going on.
Well, are you prepared?
I have a few things to say.
Cool. I'm going to step out.
I don't know how long, but
that's okay. Do your thing. Right.
So, one of the things is at this time of the year, we have passed the midpoint of the solar year. We did that at the solstice in June. So pretty soon we're going to be focusing a lot of the attention on 2022. Astrologically, we're going to be looking ahead. One thing I can tell you is that this Saturn-Uranus square energy, which is change and the resistance to change, is going to still be there in 2022, but we should be at a higher level of understanding. This is my vision. This is my Aquarian vision that we're going to understand much more and be much more willing to go into change. But this is also a great time for you to look ahead at your own 2022. And one of the ways you can do that is by getting a reading, which you can get from me. And all these flashing addresses are ways you can reach me. I'm happy to do readings over Zoom. I also do them over a teleconference line where you get a recorded MP3 link. And just get in touch with me. And I would also be right now offering a brief look at the end of this year, because we have two more eclipses coming. We have our first eclipse in the Scorpio-Taurus polarity, which is going to be the nodal axis where we're going to shift in the following year. So you may need to know, you may need some information about what's coming up as far as those eclipses are concerned and where these transiting energies are moving in your chart when they go direct. So that is like a lesser amount of information for me to do. So there's a discount of 50% because we're 50% through this year. So you can get in touch with me and say, I just want the end of the year wrap up reading. And you can get the information that you need. I highly suggest that you do this. The other things that are going on with me that you might want to avail yourself of and contacting me, I do mentorship classes. If you want to understand astrology and the principles that it represents, if you want to really get into that and understand what's going on around you, then you can get those classes with me also over Zoom or the teleconference line. And it's tailored to your needs. You know, you could be reading books, I can recommend things, and then you can tell me what you need. So that's another thing that I do. And I'm kind of excited right now that I'm on a fifth draft of a very big project that took years and years, and it's a novel. And there's a tremendous amount of metaphysical wisdom that's been given in this particular story. It's about a Druid priestess in Wales in the late 5th century. And it's a phenomenal experience for people. It's a reconnect. It's true what Jim said, it's true. We do not evolve backwards. But there are things that are in the ancestral line, the things that are in the crystalline, that's Aquarius, crystals, that's why I wore mine tonight. The structure in your bones is crystalline. And so it holds knowledge. And you have knowledge passed to you through the blood, your ancestral knowledge. But we have been focused in not remembering that. But it was like, you know, intentionally, I think, by people with vested interests that we didn't know these things. So one of the things this novel is doing is reawakening us, not just to the specific information, but to the information that you have within you. It is yours. It doesn't belong to anyone. But there were a lot of things that were being done, a lot of concepts and a lot of abilities, even to work with the elements, which people have forgotten. And I would love for people to remember, because if you happen to be in a drought area or an area where the rains are coming and it's going to be too much, there are ways that you can use your own mental power and connection to work with these things. And I feel, as far as that's concerned, the more the merrier, you know. So one of the things is this book is going to help people reawaken, because it also has a fantastic storyline with a couple of love stories in it, you know, so it's entertaining too.
Yes, that sounds amazing. It was reminding me of, I was immediately thinking of The Mists of Avalon. Came to mind.
It goes a little further than The Mists of Avalon, and I'll tell you why. My guides told me why. She wrote that in 1982, I think, or 1980 it was published. And the
recent. I didn't realize it was that recent.
Oh yeah, The Mists of Avalon. She's writing an Arthurian literature about the same era that I'm writing about, but. The Catholic Church was still able to ban books and movies. It seems like, really? But they were.
Yeah.
I remember it very much so. And so there was an inability for certain things to be said. And at the end of that novel, the head of the Druid priestesses becomes a nun. And somehow that just didn't ring right for me, even back then, but you can work with the consciousness of the time, But what's happened now with all the stuff, Vatican Gate and all the stuff about the church, does not have that power now.
Yeah, not the same.
So more can be revealed.
Right on. All right, guys, check Shelley out, ShelleyEntine.com. Probably the one place fits all to go check out the reading. She's incredible at what she does. Avail yourself to it. It can be very, very, very helpful to helping you navigate. It's not telling you what to do. It's telling you the influences that are available to you so that you can focus your energy, as she was talking about, in ways to create incredible change and transformation in your own world, because you're working with the energy instead of against the energy. So I think it's awesome. And all right, we have about 10 minutes.
Okay.
So let's go to, where did I go here? Aha, there it is. So the intensity will continue. Oh no, that's the what's next piece. Where were we? We were, the evolve. You will evolve.
Yes.
How do I embrace it? Well, we've kind of been talking about that throughout, talking about the tools of how do we do that. But I think the message is to understand that it's happening. It's not, whether you want to call it the awakening or whether you have another word for it or you have some religious connotation for it, it doesn't matter. It is a process of evolution that we are all going through because we are all part of this planet and we are all being impacted by the energies on the planet. So however you align with that is great. Go where you go, but focus in the idea that it's happening. Now, how can I build my support system to support that? Is kind of where I go with it.
One of the things that I want to say is that while the Jupiter in Aquarius is retrograde, it's internal. It's go back over, look at those, what we said, look at where you have expanded, see if you can find a place that you're still stuck. What still frightens you? What still makes you want to run back and do old pattern? You know, pay attention to that. It's in October. I was looking at this. I think it's the 18th of October that Jupiter will go direct in Aquarius. So you've got a couple of months here, right? We're almost through July already, but we've got August and September and a little bit of October to be in the retrograde, yeah, for Jupiter. And then when that goes direct, we have some of October and all of November and most of December to be in the forward movement and to be able to see what is going to manifest for you, you know. So being in alignment was, you mentioned that, and I think that is also very key. You know, don't push the river or, you know, these different expressions, right?
Just don't fight it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
So know that in the retrograde time, this is, we are actually growing, but we're growing in a different way.
Yeah. And in a way that's laying foundational. This is foundational stuff. This is, it's interesting. One of the things that I have observed, and I want to share this as you were talking, it was reminding me of this.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways that this shows up in my world is I find myself, I'll use a silly example. I had a couple teeth that I had to have removed. And it was a very easy process. I was completely surprised because I've never in 56 years, I've never had anyone in my mouth except to clean. And even that was sporadic. But so this happened. It was an incredibly easy process for me. I didn't even take any aspirin when it was over. I didn't have any pain. My good friend, his wife had tooth issues, and she had to go in and have a couple teeth extracted, and she was down for 4 or 5 days and in a lot of pain. And I was marveling at it, but the thing that happened and what I'm trying to share here is that I found myself running my mouth about my experience, never having had oral surgery before. This was the only time I've had oral surgery. So I am not in any way, shape, or form the know-all be-all of oral situations, of dental situations. But I found myself running my mouth and I caught myself right in the middle of it and went, I just made all that up. My mind literally just made up a story about what I know about this that I don't know because I have no experience with it. So everything I just said, please ignore. I don't know where I was coming from, but I found myself doing that periodically where I'll have an opinion about something. Mm-hmm. And then I'll stop and go, how do I have an opinion about this? And why do I have an opinion about this? Mm-hmm. Because I don't have anything to back it up with. It sounds odd, but it's the way it shows up for me is these the mind creating a story, the mind creating some version of reality that is not the version that I'm sitting in front of.
Right.
And it's pulling me over here to talk or pulling me over here to do this. And I have to stop and go, whew, no, I'm here. And so that's why these steps are so important in my world. This is why taking the time to breathe, finding the way to center yourself, finding ways to spin your energy up, because the subtlety of this is actually kind of mind blowing. But I'm dedicated myself to being committed to not allowing it to pass without acknowledging it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, because it happens sometimes so quickly that I don't catch myself, but mm-hmm. then I catch myself and I stop and I go, sorry, I did what I just said, please disregard. I've had no experience with that, and I have no business having an opinion. So, you know, like, and it changes my energy instantly because I'm now not in this alternate place trying to convince somebody of something that I don't even really know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that sounded weird or not quite clear, but that's how it shows up for me. Only one way, but one way that I've noticed the influence.
Well, I think if how I related to what you said was that frequently we'll form opinions like that and stories like that because of the past conditioning that we have.
Thank you for that. That's exactly right. That's the piece that I was missing in what I was saying.
You know, and so it makes us, the past conditioning is the thing that we think is making us secure. Even though it may be the thing that's trapping you.
I would remove the word may from the sentence. I would say it is what is trapping you.
it's the thing that's trapping you.
Yeah, because I don't want to give people an exit ramp here.
Right.
It's not an exit ramp.
No exit ramps here.
It's actually one of those runaway truck ramps. It's not an exit ramp.
It's a runaway truck ramp, and if you insist on staying put, there'll be a trap door that will open also. And that's true. There will be a trap door.
There will be. We're convinced of it. That's funny.
So I think that's part of why we have to be with the mystery, you know?
Yeah. And I love that. I love how you express that too, because I think that's so important is enjoy the mystery of it. It feels uncomfortable enough. We're hearing all of the craziness going on, and some of it's going on in our own heads. Some of it's going on outside or all around us. And I think that point is so important, is that we are evolving. That's a good thing. What we're leaving behind is the detritus of bad thinking and negative thinking and things that don't support the human experience in the way that is imbued with love, that is imbued with upliftment, that is imbued with transformation and enlightenment and all the words that sound really woo-woo, but that's where we are. We are constantly in a state of transformation.
Yes.
And so our final part here in our last couple minutes, the intensity will continue. What's next? I think the what's next for next year, we should save for another show. Because this has been quite a bit, but given that the intensity will continue, what would you suggest? What would you like people to take away from this experience that will help them navigate it more successfully?
I would like them to take away the fact that they can make vision. They can have the idea that what's coming is something better than they could have imagined. They can ask for that, you know, best possible, most benevolent outcomes, you know, and expect that that's what we'll see, you know, expect that all these new ideas that come from a different way of consciousness are going to manifest. And that we're going to be so much better off.
Even if we can't see it right now.
Especially.
And especially
we can't see it right now.
And the other thing I would say to the answer to that question, I was trying to give you a softball. get a reading. No, the point of that is if your understanding of these influences, if you out there listening and watching, if you understand even a little bit of this, don't be afraid to reach out and get a reading. I can tell you from personal experience, the first thing that I find with someone who knows how to read a chart is that when you get that and you start to and look at this thing, it's incredibly validating, because you find out all the things you've been experiencing are a part of the plan, as it were, if you want to see your chart as a plan. But it is all of you kind of put together and then presented in a way that you can see the energies and influences that you've had all along. And you're like, wait, how could they know that? Because this is not joke. This is for real stuff. These energies are for real. These influences are for real. So that's to me, the most amazing thing is the first thing is the tremendous sense of validation that, oh, I'm not off track. I'm not lost in the world somewhere. I'm exactly where I need to be. And maybe I don't like it, but it doesn't change it. It changes my perception of it and my understanding of it and my need personally. And I know many of us have this, to beat ourselves up when we think we're not in the right place. And to have a reading that says, hey, you're exactly where you need to be, but here are some influences that can help you be even better place than where you are right now.
I would add also that we all came with specific design that we forgot so that we could live our lives. But an astrology chart can show what you came to do.
Yes.
And so it may be different for Jim and different for me, but there's a specific thing that you can focus on that is your evolutionary path.
Perfect.
And so,
a beautiful way to end the show. Got to go. We're running over time, but Shelley, as always, it's always a joy to have you here. And thank you so much for all of your insight. And I'll see you on the other side as soon as we close out.
Okay. So
have an amazing weekend, y'all. We'll see you next time on Adventures in Truth. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Livecast. Please like, subscribe, and share. If you'd like to learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, check it out at www.fearisachoicebook.com. Also check out Moments of Truth, a new offering from Adventures in Truth. If you'd like to work with Jim, check out www.thesciencetransformation.com to book a session. Tune in live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and every Friday, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, or look for our new releases and podcasts every Monday. Until next time, be well, and we'll see you again on Adventures in Truth Livecast.